Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
I don't know if you've ever thought about climbing Mount Everest, but if you have, this next conversation is for you, because overcrowding has become a huge issue on Everest. I'm sure you've often spotted photographs, pictures on social media with long, lengthy queues to the summit and just massive amounts of litter left on the mountainside. So as a result of all of this, the Nepalese government has announced that in future, only those who've climbed about 7,000 metre mountains are going to be able to get a permit to climb Mount Everest. John Burke is a mountain enthusiast from County Clare, hotelier. John is with us on the line because you climbed Everest, was it 2016, John?
Yes, Andrea, that's right, 2016.
Yeah, do you agree with this decision by the Nepalese government?
Look, Everest holds a special place in my heart. I absolutely love Mount Everest. I love a lot of mountains, but Everest is especially significant to me. I suppose what's most significant to me about the mountain is the people and the culture and Nepal itself. And I think that, you know, these new regulations are brought in to support the Nepalese economy, to support the people and the communities. And like, there are a good 74 mountains, 7,000 metres or above in Nepal. They could be climbed as part of preparation for Everest. And a lot of these, I suppose, are off the beaten track. And it's certainly, I would certainly support it. While I believe within a lot of the commercial mountaineering circles, there's a good bit of resistance around this, I support it. I believe that Everest isn't one that you should just get in, get out and try and bag a summit along the way. You should connect with the people, connect with the culture. You know, the Buddhist temples, the Buddhism culture, the amazing Nepalese people, the warmest people on earth, I believe. And it's not just about standing on the summit for 10 or 20, 25 minutes, in my case, and admiring the view. It's about connecting them with the mountain in a more significant way and connecting with the people. So to me, anything that means that people aren't, you know, preparing outside Nepal, coming in maybe with a Western expedition from the US or wherever else it might be, coming in, flying in, you know, surrounding themselves with people of their own culture, you know, working with Sherpas, of course, to summit they would. But it needs to be, you know, it should be a closer connection to the mountain. It's a special place. It's a spiritual place for the Nepalese.
I would have assumed, though, Mount Everest, I mean, if people are attempting Mount Everest, surely they've attempted many other, you know, smaller, easier, lesser mountains beforehand.
Yeah, for sure. And I suppose there's so many different routes, traditional routes to finding yourself on an expedition for Everest. And a lot of them would involve, I suppose, climbing mountains like Aconcagua or Denali or, you know, different mountains around the world. But really, I suppose it's about getting people into Nepal. And I think the Nepalese government, the policy is around developing and more economic development for Nepal so that, you know, that Everest isn't your first mountain in Nepal, that you're not preparing and climbing your mountains in different parts of the world, that you're getting in, you know, connecting with the culture, supporting the economic development of Nepal and the region, and in particular, getting people into the more remote areas.
When you were there, John, in 2016, and I'm sure there are many others from many countries scaling Everest at the time, how experienced were the others that you were climbing with?
There's a very mixed bag of people. Look, within our expedition, everyone was experienced and should have been there. But I suppose there are some organisations that mightn't have their ethics in the right place, and they might take people on board that maybe haven't got the right experience. You know, I didn't particularly witness people that were way out of their depth. I witnessed people that maybe weren't fit enough, etc. Maybe you know, pulled out a bit early on. But once you got up to the higher, once you got above 7,000 metres, you know, the people that were there tended to deserve to be there. You know, and there's also a lot of talk, as you mentioned there, about over climbing the mountain and over tourism. And I suppose there is a little, look, they do need to limit permits to climb Mount Everest. The biggest challenge in Everest is there's a very short summer window of, say, from between 5 to 12 days in an entire year. Like, some years is as low as 5. So, you know, they have to limit the number of people that are going to be there, because a lot of people will tend to hit the first summit day or two. So when you see a queue, that may be 50 or 70% of the summit for the entire year could happen on that particular day.
So, Shelley Gray, Today FM presenter, climbing enthusiast, is joining us here as well, John. Shelley, I know you've climbed many mountains at this stage, not Everest just yet, but should people have a level of experience before attempting to do so?
Oh, absolutely. You know what? I could listen to John speak all day when he's talking about the Nepalese people. Yeah. I completely concur. So would highly back what he has said and just experience it for yourself. But yeah, I think it's a very reasonable, a very necessary, a very responsible step to put in place to be granted that permit to climb Everest. You know, as you're saying, like most people will have seen those pictures of the bottlenecks in the death zone. So that's like 8,000 meters and above. So at this level, like your oxygen levels are critically low. Again, John, feel free to butt in because you are the one with the experience. But like if you're inexperienced, you're not au fait with ropes or using oxygen tanks and crampons and ice axes. And the pacing as well at high altitude is really, really important. So if you're not au fait with all of that, you're not only putting yourself in danger, but you're putting the lives of the Sherpas that are with you in danger and the rescue teams as well. And then, of course, the actual experienced climbers like John who are going to come behind you, you're like slowing him down. And there's a real critical sort of window opportunity to, you know, push for that summit. And if you're taking too long, it's just not going to happen for you. Mm. So there is like there's lives at stake. And yeah, I think you need to be, again, yeah, get that experience. Like I have, as he said, oh no, I don't know if he said it, John mentioned actually Aconcagua earlier. So I have that at the end of the year. So that's like 6,961 meters. So nearly at the 7,000 meters that I would need if I wanted to climb Everest. But like having that experience with the altitude and knowing how it affects your body, knowing how to mitigate the risks of altitude sickness and just getting used to different terrains, whether it's, you know, like rocky terrains or ice or snow. And, yeah. You know, you don't want to be putting on the crampons for the first time as you're about to go over the Khumbu Icefall. So yeah, it's a very reasonable, like there's no way, it'd be wild if you went like from zero to Everest with no experience in between.
Yeah. What about you, Johnny Ward? Johnny's an Irish adventurer. Was it about 3 years ago that you climbed Everest?
Yeah, 2 years now. It's climbing season right now, isn't it? Yeah, so yeah. I was there 2 years ago. It's a tricky one because a lot of things can be true at the same time. I think anyone climbing Everest without a 7,000 meter in their bag already is a lunatic. I mean, that should be it should be go without saying. But yeah. a lot of the local operators, it's not very PC, but the local operators are the ones that are causing the problems because the Western operators, despite them making a fortune from it, that's true, but they require a resume, a climbing resume. All of them do.
But
the local
operators have to have some kind of a climbing CV.
You know, I know, but for the local operators, which are half the price, they'll take any wealthy Chinese, Indian, Arab guy up there. Like I saw it when I was there. I had a terrible story with this Indian lady who I thought had just got to base camp and I ran over to congratulate her, like slightly overweight, 60 plus. And I said, wow, you've done so well. You've got to base camp. I can't believe it. And she's like, oh, it's only beginning. I'm going to the top. And then fast forward 2 weeks, we were at base camp waiting for our summit attempt. And I had heard she had died. And I thought, God, like, it's tragic, but also not surprising in the slightest. And I guess these kind of regulations that the Nepali government are going to put in place would stop that kind of stupidity and save people from themselves. So in that respect,
accidents can happen and no weather can change and hard to predict. But definitely, as you're saying, Johnny, you feel that some kind of climbing experience is a necessity. How many mountains, Shelley, have you climbed? And even as you say, at this stage, you wouldn't qualify for this Everest pass or permit.
Oh, not many. I can't believe you just sandwiched me between two people who actually summited Everest. Want to talk about imposter syndrome?
Not at all.
I've done base camp and I've done Kilimanjaro. And actually, when I was booking Aconcagua for the end of this year, so December, they actually, checked, have I got experience with at least 5,000 meters and above? So there is that criteria. So yeah, once I do Aconcagua, I may just quit or who knows, I might go again.
You might, yeah.
I'm in for Everest.
Retire. John Burke, just on that, what's your advice to people if they were thinking of Everest? Like, how many climbs do you think they should have under their belt beforehand?
I think people should just be patient with it. You know, sometimes when it looked, no more than myself, when it came in the brain, you just wanted to be there. But like, look, I spent 10 years that was preparing. That was probably a bit longer than the usual or than was necessary. But, you know, people just need to be patient. I suppose, you know, it's more about the journey than the summit. Like, you know, the summit will come and go, but it's the journey. It's the, and I know it's easy to say that, you know, for someone who really wants to get to the summit of a particular mountain. But it is about the journey, those moments and those moments at the top of the summit, are distant memories to me. But you know, the time on Carn Tool that I spent training, like the many, many days and friends that I've met out hiking and preparing and training in Scotland, Carn Tool in the Alps, you know, all those days and all those connections, the people from Nepal who visit, I had a Sherpa here staying with me in December, and, you know, have that lifelong connection,
yeah.
You know, to bring him around Ennis and hear a bit of traditional music and have him pouring a pint of Guinness, you know, that's to me what Everest is about, less so about, you know, I went out there and very easy to say it, you know, because I was successful in summiting, but I went out there with the view that I'm giving this the best shot and I'm going to live in the moment. And Noel Hannah, RIP, told me before I went out, he said, enjoy the moment, don't let them pass you. You know, don't be locked in on the summit. Enjoy the moment and enjoy the people. And, you know, and that to me, what Everest is about.
Brilliant.
So, you know, take your time, get the summit in. You know, Scotland is great. The Alps is great. You know, the Mount Shelley has climbed a really great preparation.
Mm.
And get out to Nepal, get to base camp, you know,
okay.
Get out to the 7,000 remote peak out there and eventually get to Everest. And then if you don't summit Everest, so be it. You've had amazing adventures along the way.
Enjoy it along the way. Well, John Burke, Johnny Ward, Shelley Gray, listen, thanks a million to you all for joining us here on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.